fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue to talk about the theme this week is about spiritual combat. Our life on earth, as Pope Francis, as I mentioned yesterday, reading homily he gave on Ephesians chapter 6, the famous passage where Paul tells us that we're contending not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of this present darkness, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Paul, yesterday was the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul, and both Peter and Paul, as the Lord Jesus did so often, Jesus came to reveal the truth, and the apostles were brought into that truth, and they proclaimed it so clearly. Jesus opened their eyes to the reality that the most fundamental thing that's happening in each one of our lives is we're living in the midst of a spiritual conflict, a spiritual battle, and that the Christian life is a military endeavor. That's the phrase that Pope Francis used, and really echoing the whole spirit and the orientation, the teaching of the apostles and of Jesus. We really are every day, even though, friends, you know, we see in the news, as I mentioned yesterday as well, in the news, every day turn on the news and there's something, there's a war going on somewhere in the world, some horrible, disastrous thing is happening. Our inner cities are heating up with riots and conflict, and there's, you know, road rage. I saw a video just a couple of days ago, happened to see some two guys jump out of their car and they go at it and they're fighting in the middle of the street. And we can get distracted and think that these issues, which are serious and real, is the source of the real battle we're facing, or it becomes the source of great anxiety and concern for people. And we lose sight of the fact that those things are all just manifestations, and they've been present really throughout the history of humanity. Wars and rumors of wars, conflict, lying, cheating, stealing, violence, it's all been there. Why? Why? Because of the deeper reality of the spiritual battle that's unfolding in our lives every single day. There's a great contest going on between the kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The ruler of the kingdom of darkness, the ruler of this present world, Satan, as Scripture talks about it so clearly, he's after one thing. He's after eternal souls. That's the real gold and the real value. That's what really matters in this world, whether we believe it or not, whether we understand it fully or not. Human beings are eternal. Everything else, human civilization, you know, the things we build, the things we make, all of that, none of it's eternal. It's going to pass away. Look at all the civilizations that have already come and gone. Our civilization is not going to last forever. The world isn't going to last forever. But what is going to last forever are eternal creatures made in the image and likeness of God. Every single human being, literally, is made in the image and likeness of God and has the touch of God himself in each person. Each person was destined to live forever with God and share in God's reign, his glory, his majesty, his beauty, his power forever. God has a beautiful plan for the human race, but we've fallen from that plan. We've fallen from the beauty and the glory that God has destined each one of us for, because we've been trapped in sin. We've said yes to the seductive lies of the enemy, and we've turned our backs on God, and we become subject to the domination of the devil. And so the catechism, echoing the teaching of the church, is very clear about who the enemy is and who we're up against. There's a good section here in paragraph 39 through 35. There's just a description here of the fall of the angels. I want to read some of these because I think it'd be helpful just to know really what we're up against, because this isn't just fantasy. It's not some made-up reality. This is the real spiritual condition of the world and what each one of us as spiritual creatures are facing and we're up against. It says in paragraph 390, it says, the account of the fall in Genesis 3 uses figurative language, but it affirms a primeval event. That's the fall where the devil seduces Eve and Adam, that they were forbidden to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, you can have the whole garden. You can have everything. Trust me. You have plenty. You'll have good, but don't touch the fruit on that tree. So what does the devil do? He comes to seduce us, and he begins to seduce Adam and Eve. You see these these primeval lies and the source of the temptation. It's the devil saying to Eve, did God really say it? First, he wants to sow doubt. Did he really say it? I don't know. Did he really forbid this? Is God really against this or that? And so you begin to question. And then they say, why would he forbid you to eat from this tree? Seems to me, if you ate that fruit, it'd be good for you. I mean, look at how tasty it looks in the first place. And eating of that fruit is going to give you knowledge. In fact, it's going to make you just like God. So if you exercise your independence, I mean, what kind of God would withhold such a good from you, Eve and Adam? Why would he do that? What kind of God is he? Oh, I see. He doesn't want you to eat from that tree, because then if you do, you're going to realize that you're just as great as he is and that you really don't need him. You see, he wants you to be subject to him. He wants to control you. But I'm here. I'm your good friend. I'm here to help you. I'm going to lift the veil so that you can see how bad God is, that he can't be trusted, and that really at the end of the day, the only person you can trust is yourself. And if all this is in your hands, if your life is in your hands, and you don't listen to anybody but yourself ultimately, and you follow your own understanding, you rely on your trusting only in yourself, you're going to be free and you're going to be just like God. So there's the seduction. Adam and Eve fall. That's what the catechism's talking about here. Paragraph 390. I mean, friends, this is the same dynamic that we experience personally in our lives. We can see in our culture. I can see in our culture all over the place. The great lie that says, if I'm going to be free, if I'm going to be happy, if I'm going to live a fulfilled life, I need to live an existence, you know, without boundaries, no limits, nobody telling me what to do. I design my own life, the meaning of my own life. I make it up myself as I go along. And therefore, I must resist anything that feels like it's going to limit me, a boundary. Like what? Like the commandments of God. That's the great challenge. That's the same lie that the enemy is sowing, that he sowed in the garden. So the catechism goes on, paragraph 390. He said, a deed that took place from the beginning of the history of man. Revelation gives us the certainty of faith that the whole of human history is marked by the original fault freely committed by our first parents. Now it goes on to talk about the actual fall of the angels. It said, behind the disobedient choice of our first parents lurks a seductive voice, opposed to God, which makes them fall into death out of envy. Out of envy. That passage I read, we got this last Sunday from Wisdom, chapters 1 and 2. It ended with this line, said, by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to this company experience it. Passage began with saying, God did not make death. God did not create us so that we would die. God created us so that we would live with him forever. And he sent his son into the world to compete for us, to destroy the work of the devil, 1 John tells us, so that he can set us free from captivity, the captivity to this fallen, seductive creature who's exercising power in this world over human minds and hearts. The paragraph goes on. Scripture and the church's tradition see in this being a fallen angel called Satan or the devil. The church teaches that Satan was at first a good angel made by God. The devil and the other demons were indeed created naturally. They were created naturally good by God, but they became evil by their own doing. Scripture speaks of the sin of these angels. This fall consists in the free choice of these created spirits who radically and irrevocably rejected God and his reign. We find a reflection of that rebellion in the tempter's words to our first parents, "You will be like God." The devil has sinned from the beginning, and he's a liar and the father of lies, Jesus said. This is his nature. This is his character. Isn't it interesting, the contrast? Jesus stands before Pilate, as I mentioned yesterday, and he said, for this reason I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. To bear witness to the truth. He's the opposite of the devil, who's in this world the father of lies. Through lies. Lies about God, lies about humanity, lies about sin and death. He's a liar. and we're weakened by our own sin and the work of the flesh in us, and we're easily seduced if we don't live a vigilant life, this militant endeavor, as Pope Francis said, living each day alert, spiritually alive, feeding ourselves, understanding, wait a minute, I have an enemy that's set against me, and his whole, all the demons that are at his command are set against me. And what he's after, he couldn't care less what happens in towns and civilizations and in Hollywood or whatever. The devil's got his eye on what really matters, not gold that's in our banks, not property, not power, influence. He knows that the gold, the real gold, and what he's after is eternal creatures, human beings, made by God to live forever. Everything else, as I said, is going to pass away. So you see the limit of its value. We're still goofy enough, we're still blinded enough as human beings to think that all that glitters is gold and it's the most valuable thing. We devalue human life and we value material things over it, which is really crazy, but it shows you the darkness of our own minds. The devil understands what really matters, as does God, which God sent his son into the world to save us from this condition of slavery and eternal separation from God. That's what's really going on in the world. And the Catechism, echoing the teaching of Jesus, reminds us of that. Paragraph 393. It is the irrevocable character of this choice, and not a defect in the infinite divine mercy of God, that makes the angels' sin unforgivable. There's no repentance for the angels after their fall, just as there's no repentance for men after their death. This is why your life on earth is so urgent, the spiritual conflict. Because, friends, once you die, your destiny is sealed. You're going to go one way or the other, one place or another. You're going to be with God or you're going to be with Satan. You're either going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. And you're an eternal creature. And the light doesn't just go out when you die and then you're annihilated, you're no longer there. You were made to live forever. You're going to live either with God in glory, sharing in the glory of his son forever, or you're going to become a slave and literally in eternal punishment in hell forever. That's really what Jesus taught. That's what the apostles taught. That's what the catechism, the tradition of the church teaches so clearly. Paragraph 34, Scripture witnesses to this disastrous influence of the one Jesus calls a murderer from the beginning, who would even try to divert Jesus from the mission received from his Father. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Catechism is quoting Scripture here. In its consequences, the gravest of these works was the mendacious seduction that led man to disobey God. So here we are, and now you and me, each one of us, we're now walking the same path as the enemy sets his sight on each one of us to seduce us, to lead us to be separated from God, to live in rebellion against God, and he wants to do it right till the end. He's going to fight because he knows if we die in sin, we die separated from God, we die without surrendering our life fully to God, in receiving baptism and repentance and forgiveness of our sins, we are going to be his slave for all eternity. Friends, let's fight the good fight as we've been exhorted to by the apostles and the Lord himself. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.